Meanwhile, the snow is starting to settle on the site of the former Badger Army ammunition plant near Baraboo. A group that calls itself the Badger Apple Corps is already thinking about spring and the apple trees that will be blooming then.
Our next guest is one of the Badger Apple Corps. Along with other scientists, he's working to identify the trees remaining on the former Badger Ammo site. These days, almost all the buildings are gone, and it's a scramble to locate the apple trees and tag them. Once they're found, the trick is figuring out what they are. Huge numbers of heirloom apple trees are now gone. The trees at this site could be rare and maybe even hardy breeds.
Kurt Miney joins us now. He's a senior fellow with the Aldo Leopold Foundation and founding member of the Sauk Prairie Conservation Alliance. He wrote about the apple trees of the Badger Ammo Plant in the Wisconsin People and Ideas magazine. Kurt, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Veronica. Good to be here.
Well, you're a member of the Badger Apple Corps. What is that?
Well, that's our fun name for an ad hoc group of friends and colleagues working in the Sauk Prairie area who have been interested in these historic apple trees at the old Badger Army ammunition plant.
And the pun is intentional.
The pun is intentional and almost unavoidable.
So when most of us think of the Badger Army ammunition plant, we don't think apple trees. Tell us a little bit about some of these trees that persist on the site of this old plant.
Sure. Well, most people are familiar with the landscape. If you've gone up Highway 12 to Devil's Lake or to Baraboo, you've passed by this big open landscape out there. And for those who've been around a while, you remember all the buildings that used to be out there when the plant was producing materials. Well, those buildings are gone. But what we sometimes forget is the layer of history before that, to build the plant in 1942, the federal government had to remove about 80 farm families from that landscape. So they moved them quickly in 3 months after Pearl Harbor. Those families had to be up and out. And they left behind not much. The farm buildings were removed. The barns and other farm buildings were gone. And all that was left of a lot of these old farmsteads are some foundations, a few rose bushes and lilac bushes, and it turns out some old apple trees, and that's what got us interested in this project.
So you might think old apple trees, what's so special about them? But it turns out there is a lot of mystery that surrounds the trees that are left there. What's so mysterious about them?
Well, what's mysterious is, first of all, how they survived, I guess, and how they continued to grow through a world war, subsequent conflicts, the transitions in the landscape, the changes in the economy, and all the things that have gone on since 1941, 42. And yet these trees are still there, but we don't know much about them. We didn't even know how many there were. And we still don't know exactly how many there are, but we've begun to do some work to try to give some facts to this interesting situation.
And some of them may be, once you figure out what they are, it could be that some of them are quite rare, right?
Well, that's what we can hope for. We don't know yet what kind of varieties we have. There's a lot of interest right these days in preserving agricultural biodiversity, and particularly apples. There's a lot of interest in apples from the cider industry, you know, the cider brewing industry, and from people who are just interested in protecting what we're losing, and that is a lot of the diversity of our crops and around the world. And here's a little example of it right in our own backyard that we can really focus on.
And your job right now, among other jobs, is to find these trees,
right,
to tag them. And you say this is not so easy because a lot of them have gone, as you say, feral.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you kind of have to crawl through the underbrush just to find these things. What is that process like?
Well, the process really is, we're learning as we go along. But apple trees bloom, of course, in the spring, usually within a few days around Mother's Day in May. And that's the best time to see them because the bright white flowers are out there. And in this landscape, which is being encroached upon by invasive shrubs and other plants, they can be hard to pick out in some areas. So you have to go out there when they're in bloom to find them. And then, yeah, some of them are kind of engulfed in vegetation, and we have to crawl through a lot of brambles to get to them. But the key is just to find out how many there are, what shape they're in, and begin this process of trying to learn more about what they are and if we do have anything special.
And it sounds as though you've enlisted the help of Dan Bussey from Seed Savers to help you crack the mystery on these trees. How is he going about it?
Well, Dan, he's a treasure. He's a native kid of Edgerton, just outside Madison here, and he's made a passionate commitment to protecting the diversity of apples, not only here in the Midwest, but nationwide. And he's the chief orchardist over at Seed Savers, which is this wonderful little nonprofit over in Decorah, Iowa, that really exists to protect and sustain our diversity in our agricultural crops. And just recently, they've rehabilitated their orchard over there. And Dan took over that project, but he knew about Badger because he's a Wisconsin guy. And when he heard about this project, he got all excited because he knew that Sauk County in particular was a historic center for apple growing back in the late 1800s. So he's been very interested. He came out with us a few times. And in fact, I just saw him yesterday over in Iowa. And he's all eager to help us with the next steps of this project, too.
We're talking right now with Kurt Miney, senior fellow with the Aldo Leopold Foundation and a founding member of the Sauk Prairie Conservation Alliance, talking about the effort to identify and locate some possibly antique breeds of apple trees on the former site of the Badger Army Ammunition Plant. And so one question, I guess, that's lingering now is whether or not these apples will be safe to eat, because over the years the soil has been contaminated. There has been some work to clear it, to make it safe again. But what do we know about how safe these apples might be to eat?
Right. That's a question we started with, actually. We wanted to know this. Many people are aware that the production years at the plant did result in a lot of environmental contamination. So we were concerned about this. And it is a problem, but it's also an opportunity to learn. Because there's actually, it turns out, not much research on this question. And as people become more interested in different forms of agriculture and bringing fruit trees and woody plant material back into the farm operations, and especially in urban areas where there's a lot more interest in growing food in urban settings, sometimes old brownfields, contaminated sites, this is actually an opportunity to fill in a little gap in knowledge here about how fruit trees do perhaps can be or can get contaminated. The good news is that what research there has been done seems to show that fruit trees are way at the end of the potential risk spectrum. Things like annual leafy vegetables and so forth, lettuce and vegetables are a lot more susceptible to that kind of uptake. But we do hope to do some analysis of the fruits and see what we can learn that can be applied elsewhere.
Have you been on the site when they're in bloom yet, or has that effort has it not timed out that way yet?
Well, last two springs, around Mother's Day, we have gone out to look for these trees, and then we'll keep an eye on them, and then back in the fall, come and try to collect some of these fruits and see what we got. And it's an adventure because you're learning every time you're out there.
What do we know about the future of these apple trees and also the way that relates to the future of this particular land?
Yeah, well, a lot of these trees have been sort of abandoned for decades in some cases. But they are tough survivors, and it's really impressive. It's inspirational in a way to see how these trees have continued, despite being completely uncared for, to produce delicious fruit. It's also a chance, though, Badger, of course, isn't isolated. It's part of a larger Sauk County and Wisconsin landscape, and the same situation applies everywhere. All over the state, all over the country, we have seen this loss of diversity in apples and this sort of abandonment of what our great grandfathers and grandmothers gave us. And so it's a chance to bring some attention to a larger issue that goes beyond the boundaries of the Badger ammo plant.
Now, you're a scientist, but listening to you talk, you sound as though you've gotten a little attached to these trees.
Well, you know, those of us who do conservation work, we try to be totally objective, of course, and scientific about it. No, it's not only the trees themselves, though. It's these stories that they carry with them. It's the stories of the people and of the places that we go to. And Badger is layered in rich history, human history and natural history. And for me, it's an important way of reconnecting the current landscape to that history that can easily be forgotten. Even World War II is fading from memory now. This place transformed the state of Wisconsin, and it changed tremendously the life in our community in Sauk Prairie. A lot of those families are still around, even though they had to be removed from their farms. They still live in the Sauk Prairie area, and many of them are good friends of mine. And so this is a chance for them to reconnect, too, with a bit of their history. And that's kind of the ultimate dream of this project is Badger, when it was built in 1942, these families had to be removed quickly. They had to sacrifice, as did the whole country. And their sacrifice has never really been honored. And ultimately, our dream is to maybe have an orchard that we can recreate out of these trees that will honor that history and that sacrifice and reconnect people to their history, but also propel it forward.
Well, I wish you luck with that. Kurt, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Veronica.
Kurt Miney is a senior fellow with the Aldo Leopold Foundation, founding member of the Sauk Prairie Conservation Alliance. He joined us to talk about the apple trees at the former Badger Ammo Plant. The site is currently co-managed by the Ho-Chunk Nation, the state of Wisconsin, and the USDA Dairy Forage Research Center.